Welcome to the League of Champs, an arena where we invite everyday athletes, coaches, and entrepreneurs to discuss the methodologies they use to affect change and achieve purpose. League of Champs sits at the intersection of mindfulness and sport with one intention: victory. Join us. What is good? What is popping in these streets? We're out here in these streets running for Victory Mile. Victory Mile is popping. If you haven't checked that out yet, victorymile.org. Very out here in 2020 with the virtualness, running for a greater good movement as rebellion. I'm happy to say that we've raised almost more than $650 right now through Victory Mile. We've raised a couple hundred dollars for the Emergency Art Fund in Detroit via all those that have purchased a t-shirt from victorymile.org. So big shout out to everyone for stepping up, getting moving, getting down with the cause and getting some art supplies to kids in Detroit and supporting a great organization in colorofchange.org. So with that being said, welcome to What's Up Wednesdays, League of Champs. What up to the new people? We're growing. We're building. It is alive. I'm well today. I've been doing this fascinating thing. I've been resetting my circadian rhythms, which is, you know, this biohack thing. I'll attach the podcast I listen to in the notes. It's a podcast called Broken Brain. Really good. This particular episode is very long. I think it's like an hour and a half. It's packed with an amazing amount of information, but it goes into pretty much how our eyes are attached to our brain. They're like not separate from our brain. And so, you know, so much of our brain function and how we operate as humans is through our eyes. And one way that you can reset or sort of set your circadian rhythms in a good rhythm, if you would, is by getting 10, 20 minutes, even a couple minutes of unobstructed sunlight in the morning, getting those UV rays. And it really is supposed to help you get back into a good rhythm. It can help with mood, a whole bunch of other things. I'll link that, like I said, in the notes. Check that out. I'm obsessed with plasticity, neuroplasticity, and, you know, adaptability. I've done a Strength Finder quiz at one point, and adaptability was one of my strong points. I'm sort of obsessed with this ability to create change, right? It's kind of the fun part of being an athlete, even as you get older. Being able to hit those gains, or, you know, hit a new PR, or heck, win your age group when you start to get to this age in a race. It's this ability to improve, to progress. But more than anything, and most importantly, you know, having fun, you know, this element of play. So, you know, as athletes and as humans, we spend so much time trying to improve and get all these things done throughout our day. And, you know, I'm constantly looking for new hacks or new ways or new structures to reading Essentialism still. It's been really good, life-changing. Definitely pick that up, as you've heard me talk about it before. But that's why in this journey of, you know, of both fitness and as a person and with this brand, with League of Champs, I'm much more interested in how we meet difficulty versus how we celebrate victory, right? To me, the champion is made in defeat. It's those difficult moments. It's our hard moments. It's the injuries. It is, not hitting your personal best. It's not hitting those gains that teach you much more than the moments where you succeed. And, you know, it's like I think about LeBron James and his will to win. You know, this dude went to the NBA Finals, like, what was it, 8-9 years in a row? He could be there again this year as the NBA starts to kick off again. And even in the, you know, how many times he lost, obviously LeBron's only won 3 championships. you know, he still has this will, this drive. He hasn't given up yet. I can't ever forget about that picture of Kobe Bryant resting in power, of him standing at that free throw line with like the broken wrist on his shooting hand, and he's got the ball in his left hand, and he's like in pajamas, and he's still shooting free throws. Like that level of determination, that will, there's just something to say from that. I mean, nothing was stopping those guys. Nothing is stopping those guys. And so there's so many moments in sports that we can draw from, right? That reflect the drive, the determination, the willingness to not give up. Even in our greatest losses, even at our greatest difficulties, you know, there's such opportunity to learn from that and how we allow those moments to give us great insight about where we are at as individuals, but also teach us so much about life itself, right? And how impermanent this thing is, you know, how much you have to get up and enjoy and have fun and be thankful for every day if you can, if you have the space. I mean, and everybody has a minute to at least give some thanks and go after it. And I mean, look at it. This year, it's been an uphill battle. Challenges abound in so many ways with a pandemic, you know, an elevated sense of Black Lives Matter. I don't want to say that, you know, even Black Lives Matter really just kicked off this year. It's been a 450-year journey, if you would. And it is no laughing matter. But what we've seen this year is unprecedented. You know, after George Floyd got killed, following Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, you know, Elijah, the list goes on. But the amount of protests that we saw across the world for weeks at a time, the amount of civil unrest was really powerful in the aspect of saying, hey, we can't do this anymore. We're not going to do this anymore. And it has facilitated large amounts of change. And I think more than anything, large amounts of education. And, you know, this is not to paint some sort of rosy picture on hard times. I mean, people have died. Generations of lives have been altered. You know, I don't sort of serve up these blanket statements of optimism lightly. I mean, there is a deep sense of reality that we must face. There's a deep sense of difficulty, even still on a day-to-day basis, that we must face. But this is more so about the capacity and the audacity of hope, right? There's a whole science based around hope. I'll try to put some of this in the show notes as well. But you know, this belief system of faith and what that scientifically does to the brain in hard times, you know, regardless of whether that's a pandemic or, you know, faith has been such a part of Black culture for so long, because to no end, it felt like, you know, nothing else but God would be able to save what was and still is, as a matter of fact, before some of the challenges that have been faced. And think about it. You know, you go through heartbreak, or you lose a loved one, or you know, some of the most difficult things that you can go through in life. It is typically, you know, faith and a sense of hope that drives you through that. Hopefully, pun intended. But think about it too, even in the context of training. You know, as a runner, you have a sense of faith that your workout today will help you be a better runner tomorrow, right? That if you're preparing for a marathon, you know, you put in X amount of miles, and you very much so have faith in the process that it will lead to, you know, carrying you through whatever your goals and objectives are. So, you know, I've really been reflecting on this year as a concept of meeting difficulty wisely, as, you know, my own personal journey, but also collectively as we've met, you know, a lot of these issues. And that reflection led me to why, you know, why we love sports so much, and why, even as, you know, everyday athletes, why we enjoy feeling like athletes, even though, you know, we might not not be world class. There's something that drives us to get up and get after it every day, primarily because, you know, there is this sense of play. There is this sense of joy, even though some days we don't feel like doing it, right? Stuart Brown, the founder of the National Institute of Play, concluded that play has the power to significantly improve everything from personal health to relationships to education to organizations' ability to innovate. Play, he says, leads to brain plasticity, adaptability, and creativity. Nothing fires up the brain like play, he said. And I found that profound in many ways, and also quite fascinating when we think about, you know, children and how integral play is to, you know, growth and their learning. You know, you sort of learn through play as a kid. And, you know, think about that for a second. What brings that sense of joy into your life? You know, what gives you that sense of fun, right? Right now, it's a revolutionary principle with everything going on that if you can find something that even for moments, you know, even for minutes, gives you that sense of relief, it can be a very powerful tool. I mean, you know, for me, of course, as we've talked about, it's running, you know, playing sports in general, you know, being on the bike, snowboarding, things that bring, you know, an immense amount of freedom and ease and peace, even in great difficulty. I mean, running is not easy by any means, but there is, you know, the whole neurochemistry that happens. There's so many things that happen during a run that are, the net benefit is, I mean, we could do a whole, what's up Wednesdays, we could do a whole podcast, we could do 2 hours about, you know, the physiological, psychological, and I would argue even, or not argue, debate, be a proponent of the spiritual benefits of active lifestyle in general, not just running, but even working out. So, you know, think about those things. I mean, surfers might call that, you know, the stoke. That is what the stoke is. When you're on your snowboard and, you know, you're floating down that mountain, you get done, and there's such a sense of freedom and a sense of connectedness. Your brain opens up, and you do feel a bit more aware and connected to something bigger than yourself. You know, but it can be everything from like the butterflies you feel when you're with your crush. It can be the game winning touchdown from your favorite team. You know, there's so many things. It's like all those things. It can be the runner's high. It can be the gains of just getting three more push-ups, right? Like just to know that you've progressed in that way is powerful too, and it can really continue to transform your life. You know, I read Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, sort of the full story of how Phil Knight started Nike back in the early 1960s as he got out of college and had this crazy idea. And I was reminded of what he said in sort of the beginning of the book. He said, I had an aching sense that our time is short, shorter than we ever know, short as a morning run, and I wanted mine to be meaningful and purposeful and creative and important and above all, different. I wanted to leave a mark on the world, he said. I wanted to win. No, that's not right. I simply didn't want to lose. And then it happened. As my young heart began to thump, as my pink lungs expanded like wings of a bird, as the trees turned into greenish blurs, I saw it all before me, exactly what I wanted my life to be, play. And, you know, when I read this the first time, I was just like, yes, that's what I want my life to be about, too, because it is, you know, it's just living a life that you don't need a vacation from. It's this whole concept of ikigai, you know, not to say that these moments and that these frameworks are not met with difficulty, but it's the play and that sense of joy that tends to give you a great sense of purpose, but also it reminds you that, you know, you can work through difficult times. He went on to say, I thought that's it. That's the word, the secret of happiness. I'd always suspected the essence of beauty or truth or all we ever need to know of either lay somewhere in that moment when the ball is in midair, when both boxers sense the approach of the bell, when the runners near the finish line and the crowd rises as one. There's an kind of exuberant clarity and that pulsing half second before winning and losing are decided. I wanted that, whatever that was, to be my life, my daily life. And, you know, I was just really inspired by that statement. You know, it really embodies so much of what obviously is what Nike is, but also I think why we are attracted to sport and to healthy lifestyle. I mean, when we start to think about the science of what we're talking about, there's so many benefits to both, again, our mental and psychological aspects of our lives. Obviously, along with the physiological aspects, it transforms the way we view the world, and that sense of transformation starts very much so internally by, you know, going through these activities, having this discipline on a daily basis in a good way to, you know, get out and get after it and get after the things that we love. You know, just a little bit more from this. He went on to say, "Now, as I begin to clip off one brisk 6-minute mile after another, as the rising sun set fire to the lowest needles of the pines, I asked myself, what if there were a way, without being an athlete, to feel what athletes feel, to play all the time, instead of working, or else to enjoy work so much that it becomes essentially the same thing? The world is so overrun with war and pain and misery. The daily grind, so exhausting and often unjust. Maybe the only answer I thought was to find some prodigious, improbable dream that seemed worthy, that seemed fun, that seemed a good fit, and chase it with an athlete's single-minded dedication and purpose. Like it or not, life is a game. Whoever denies that truth, whoever simply refuses to play, gets left on the sidelines. And I didn't want that. More than anything, that was the thing I did not want, which led always to my crazy idea. Maybe I thought, just maybe, I needed to take one more look at my crazy idea." And, you know, I again, we could debate some of that in terms of what's happening in the world and, you know, opportunity and so forth. But it's profound in a lot of ways to have that opportunity to think that way. But also, you know, can you imagine in your own life what it's like to think like that? What is your crazy idea? If there's one thing, if looking back at your life, you know, there's one thing that you want to do, what is it? And do you have the ability? Can you go after it? I'm reading also, I'm just finishing up A Perfect Mile right now. And it's like, you know, one of the main quotes is, as Roger Bannister is going after the 4-minute mile, and, you know, he breaks this barrier. There's a quote in the book that I couldn't find, and I'm sort of speaking from the top of my head, but, you know, it was something to the effect of, only few will know what it's like to be on the brink of giving everything and to succeed or fail. You know, there's a famous Theodore Roosevelt quote about the man in the arena. I'll put that in the notes too. There's so many references that I could give about this sentiment that I'm talking about. And really the essence of what I'm trying to say is, what is it like to give your life to something, but at the same time, you know, have this sense of hope and this sense of faith that pursuing life in this way will result in, I don't want to say like net benefit, but will result in something good, you know, that something good can come from approaching life in that way, that, you know, there is this plasticity, this adaptability, that there is this growth mindset that you can adopt and be a part of and practice in your daily life to get the most out of life. And I think with League and what we're talking about, and I think for those that are listening right now, that is what we're trying to get across here and what we're trying to accomplish. But, you know, as we get older, that plasticity gets a little more difficult. You know, it shouldn't deter us though. It pushes us to practice bringing that presence into our lives and figuring out ourselves in a way that allows us to pursue that. So, you know, as my mother, retired family physician, always has said to me, your DNA loads the gun, but you pull the trigger, meaning that we do have more control than we think we do in terms of how those genes are expressed. I mean, part of the reason why I'm waking up and going outside to get, you know, 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes of sunlight in the morning, because it does have the ability, science has proven that it has the ability to, you know, shape your mood, shape focus, that, you know, getting off a bright light late at night has the ability to begin to shut the brain down. I mean, all things that I think a lot of us know, and a lot of information that's been out there, but it's amazing when you start to put all this together to meet the difficulty in life with wise relationships. So that is, I'm just at 20 minutes. It's a lot of information. I'm going to put some notes here in the notes so that you can check out some of the stuff that I've talked about. But again, you know, here at League of Champs, we're all about this being at the intersection of mindfulness and sport, right? And providing tools and inspiration and motivation, as well as resources for everyday athletes to become their best self. You know, I have this whole concept of living a life that I don't need a vacation from, where like work and play and life just has this seamless ability to be so intertwined, and even saying it sounds like my crazy idea, right? But for me, and I know for many of you, it's like, what is a life to live if you're not thinking in that way? And it just sounds fun. It sounds terrifying at times. It's difficult. It is hard to dream a big dream and then try to attain the dream, but it's like, what are we even doing if not? Otherwise, you know, just go sit on the sidelines and have commentary about all those people that are trying to pursue, you know, their big idea or their best life. I don't take that term lightly either. I think it's very overused in our current culture and society, because what does that truly mean? But you can define that, right? And so, yeah, that's What's Up Wednesdays today. I would leave you with the prompt to think about what brings that sense of joy, that sense of play in your life, in how can you reflect that in your day-to-day? How can you create space for that? I mean, you know, it's such a privilege, again, to be talking about things in this way, and we're so blessed to have the space to think about this, but I really do believe that we have the ability to think about things in this way so that we can in turn help others and help those that maybe don't have the space, and contribute to others that don't have the time, and help get those moving that can't move. And, you know, it's how we give back with everything that we do. So with that being said, be sure to check out victorymile.org. A good segue. I'm learning how to do this podcast thing, I tell you. Check out victorymile.org, movement for a greater good. Let's get moving for those who can't. Movement as a form of rebellion and activism, creativity, for the young kids in Detroit, as a means of activism, and giving them some, helping to give them some outlets. Thank you for everyone who signed up thus far. Thank you for tuning in today. We'll be back next Monday with a new episode of The Full Pod. Good luck to everybody running Victory Mile this weekend, whether you're running, walking, whatever you're doing. I mean, I'm trying to go sub 5. I brought in some reinforcements. I got a former professional triathlete pacing me. My coach, Coach Jess, who was on the episode on Monday, had some predictions of 505. I definitely got to go under 505. I'm trying to go sub 5. We'll see what happens. I'll talk about it next Monday. And yeah, if you have fun doing this, definitely get on social media, tag us, say what's up, let us know how your experience is. And yeah, shout out to V.O2 for helping us get through this race and set up the registration. And yeah, that's it. We're out of here. I'm out of here. Enjoy the rest of your week. I hope some of this information that I shared today was helpful. And one last thing that I meant to talk about and put in the show notes that has been a great tool is a concept in a practice called Yoga Nidra. I'll put it in the show notes, but essentially it is, it's a form of like meditation that's not meditation. It's almost like a chakra meditation or sort of walk through with some breathing. It's been a great tool for me to use before bed to sort of settle down and settle the mind down a bit. So yeah, check Yoga Nidra out too. It's pretty cool. And with that being said, thanks for tuning in today. Shout out to all the new people, everyone that's signed up for Victory Mile. Really appreciate you. Everyone that's bought a t-shirt, really appreciate you. And yeah, we'll see you next Monday. Have a good week. Peace.